yasyanyatamam kinched. Astram pratyavakarshanam. Jayastra teja unadham. Astra gyo hyastra tejasa. Only another Brahmastra can counteract this weapon. Since you are expert in the military science, subdue this weapon's glare with the power of your own weapon. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. For the atomic bombs, there is no counter-weapon to neutralize the effects. But by subtle science, the action of a Brahmastra can be counteracted. And those who were expert in the military science in those days could counteract the Brahmastra. The son of Dronacharya did not know the art of counteracting the weapon, and therefore Arjuna was asked to counteract it by the power of his own weapon. Sutta Uvacha. Srutva bhagavata proktam halguna paravīraha svispāphas tvam parikramya brahman brahmāstram sanade. Sri Sutta Goswami said, hearing this from the personality of Godhead, Arjuna touched water for purification, and after circumambulating Lord Sri Krishna, he cast his Brahmastra weapon to counteract the other one. Samhatyan yonyam ubhayaus tejasi sharasambrite abritya rodasi kamcha vavridhatherka banvita. When the rays of the two Brahmastras combined, a great circle of fire, like the disk of the sun, covered all outer space and the whole firmament of planets. Report. The heat created by the flash of a Brahmastra resembles the fire exhibited in the sun globe at the time of cosmic annihilation. The radiation of atomic energy is very insignificant in comparison to the heat produced by a Brahmastra. The atomic bomb explosion can at utmost blow up one globe, but the heat produced by the Brahmastra can destroy the whole cosmic situation. The comparison is therefore made to the heat at the time of annihilation. This drishtvastra tejas tu tayos trilokan pradanan mahat dhyamana praja sarva sanvartakam amahusata. All the population of the three worlds was scorched by the combined heat of the weapons. Everyone was reminded of the sarvataka fire which takes place at the time of annihilation. Report. The three worlds are the upper, lower, and intermediate planets of the universe. Although the Brahmastra was released on this earth, the heat produced by the combination of both weapons covered all the universe. And all the populations on all the different planets began to feel the heat excessively and compared it to the Samvartaka fire. No planet, therefore, is without living beings, as less intelligent materialistic men think. Purajo padravam alaksha lokavyati karam chatam mattam cha vasudevasya sanjaharjuno payam Thus, seeing the disturbance of the generous populace and the imminent destruction of the planets, Arjuna at once retracted both Brahmastra weapons as Lord Sri Krishna desired. Report. The theory that the modern atomic bomb explosions can annihilate the world is childish imagination. First of all, the atomic energy is not powerful enough to destroy the world. And second, ultimately, it all rests on the supreme will of the Supreme Lord, because without his will or sanction, nothing can be built or destroyed. It is foolish also to think that natural laws are ultimately powerful. Material nature's laws work under the direction of the Lord, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says there that natural laws work under his supervision. The world can be destroyed only by the will of the Lord and not by the whims of tiny politicians. Lord Sri Krishna desired that the weapon released by both Droni and Arjuna be withdrawn, and it was carried out by Arjuna at once. Similarly, there are many agents of the all-powerful Lord, and by his will only can one execute what he desires. The carelessness of Ashwatthama, who had released his Brahmastra weapon, understood that not only himself, but all of the cosmic situation was being threatened by this terrible attack of Ashwatthama. In a state overwhelmed by the condition, he has helplessly turned to Lord Sri Krishna. And Lord Sri Krishna reminds him of his own God-given powers, which, due to circumstances, he had forgotten. Krishna is giving him the intelligence that you know the military science, and you know how to counteract this Brahmastra weapon by creating another Brahmastra weapon. Eternally, knowledge is situated within the heart of every living being. Sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishto matasmatir jnanam apohanam cha. But under the temporary conditions of material life, we become so much infatuated by pride, by lust, by greed, by fear, etc., that we forget our own inherited spiritual nature, which is eternal and full of knowledge and full of bliss. And material nature is so powerful. Daivi heshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya. That it can bewilder anyone. But one who surrenders to Krishna, Krishna gives the divine remembrance of our eternal nature. Something like waking up from a dream. Sometimes dreams are so overwhelming. Sometimes we are in a pleasurable situation. Sometimes we are in a terrible, dangerous situation. But in that dream, we cannot help ourselves. But if we wake up, then we realize that there is no danger at all. Waking up simply means remembering our actual identity and ceasing to identify oneself with this illusory form or dream body. So similarly, people become so caught up in this dream of material life, that they really cannot get out of it. The only way out is to wake up. And ultimately, only Krishna can wake us up. And his representatives, of course, they have come to this world on his behalf to help us to wake up, to understand the power, the glory, and the bliss that we have inherited from our eternal Father. Aham bijapratha pita. We are all the children of Krishna. We are all part of Krishna. We have the same qualitative, spiritual existence as Krishna. So why we are suffering? Why we are in such illusion? Why, if we are immortal, are we so afraid of death? Why, if we are full of bliss, are we so afraid of suffering? This is because we are in a dream. We are identifying ourselves with the material elements. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kamano budre vacha ahankara iti ame bhina prakriti rashtra. The gross and subtle elements. We are dreaming that this is me. And this dream is impossible to come out of unless Krishna himself wakes us out of this dream. And Krishna, he wants to wake us out of this dream. But we have to want to be woken. As long as we are content in our sleep, Krishna allows us to sleep, birth after birth, creation after creation. But when we sincerely come to Krishna and beg his mercy, then from within the heart, he wakes us up to our true, blissful, eternal nature, where there is no fear, there is no danger. Krishna says, sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma sacha. If you surrender to me, abandoning all other futile attempts, there's no need to fear. Do not fear. Everyone in this world is in fear. Fear of something. Even we find great soldiers in the battlefield who are willing to give their life for their nation against all odds. It may appear that they are fearless, but actually they have other types of fear. They are afraid for their country. They are afraid to lose their prestige as being selfless warriors who are willing to die for their cause. So whether it is fear for the gross body or fear for the subtle body in the form of profit, adoration, and distinction, everyone is in fear in this world. Only those who take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna can be actually fearless. Because those who take shelter of Krishna receive the grace of Krishna. And that grace comes in the form of Krishna awaking us from our illusion and reinstating us in our natural position, which is above and beyond the modes of material nature and all the limitations of this world. So Arjuna is receiving directions from Krishna, who is reminding him of his own glory as part of Krishna. Krishna is telling him that you have the power to create an equally dynamic Brahmastra weapon, and one will counteract the effects of the other. So Arjuna He touches water first for purification, and then he circumambulates Lord Sri Krishna. This is important to understand. Arjuna was accepting this particular mission in the service of the Lord. He was recognizing it. First, he touched water for purification. In other words, for Arjuna, this was not just an act of military combat. It was actually puja. It was actually an act of worship. It was a sacred ritual because it was being offered to Krishna according to Krishna's desire. This is a very significant point. Whatever our particular engagement is in life, following in the footsteps of Arjuna, we should see that it is like worshipping the deity. It is worshipping the deity. If whatever we do in our life is ultimately being offered for the pleasure of the deity of Lord Sri Krishna, then our very occupation and everything we do within our occupation is a form of worship, is a form of puja. And it should be seen as such. Arjuna did not want to do his service without first putting himself in the proper consciousness and in the proper state of purification. Similarly, before the battle of Kurukshetra, in Kurukshetra Dham, the five Pandavas, along with Krishna, went to various places to receive blessings and to achieve purification before beginning the war, because it was done as an act of devotion. In Kurukshetra, there is Thaneshwara Mahadev. There is also Bhadrakali. These are very, very famous and very, very ancient forms of the Lord's servants. And they went to various places such as this first and worshiped these deities and purified themselves before beginning the war. In fact, Kshatriyas at that time, proper ones, they would perform various pujas and purifications for all of their weapons and their chariot and their armor before fighting, because they understood that this is not just a fight. This is not just an ordinary activity. This is a religious principle. This is an act of devotion. This is puja, or worship to the Supreme Lord. So Arjuna first touches water for purification, and then he circumambulates Lord Sri Krishna. Circumambulation is a form of worship. It's like Srila Rupa Goswami explains as one of the principles in, for Vaishnavas, that one should circumambulate the deity of Krishna at least four times every day, keeping to the right side. And Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely how to circumambulate the deity. Not within the temple, but circumambulation should be around the deity, going all four sides. This is an act of showing respect. It is a form of surrendering to the Lord. In our consciousness, the circumambulation is not just a ritual, but it is an act of surrendering and offering our highest respects and reverence to the personality of Godhead. So before Arjuna begins this very important service, first he purifies himself and he offers his loving and devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. In the same way, many of us have various occupational duties in this world, but we should not on any day attempt to begin our occupational duties until we first accept the process of purification and worship of the Lord. Therefore, through our Guru Parampara, we are given this wonderful form of devotional regulation, where we first purify ourselves by chanting the holy names. We first chant japa. In the temple we chant kirtan. We read Srimad Bhagavatam. And we worship the Lord. We attend His arti. We perform His puja. Then after receiving such spiritual blessings, after pleasing the Lord, then we are fit to perform our work in the proper consciousness in which it can be considered a service to Krishna. Some people say that work is worship, but the question is, worship to who? Worship to your own false ego? Usually that's what it means. If we wanted to actually become worship to God, we have to be God conscious in our worship. And this is the process. First there must be purification, and then there must be worship, direct, in consciousness of Krishna, direct. That is what Arjuna is showing by his example. First we chant the holy names of the Lord, we hear Srimad Bhagavat philosophy, we worship the Lord in his beautiful form. Then we are in a proper consciousness of purification and remembrance. Then we can perform our work as worship. Otherwise we cannot. It's an illusion. Work is worship. But without the holy name of Krishna and without worshiping the form of Krishna, none of our work is worship. Maybe worship, but not of God. Worship of our own material aspirations, or perhaps the aspirations of other conditioned souls. And then, after purifying himself and circumambulating the Lord, he cast his Brahmastra weapon to counteract the other one. Some people may say, I don't have time. I don't have time to begin every day by chanting japa. I don't have time to come to the temple to worship the Lord or to worship the Lord in my own home because I have so many pressing appointments every day in this world. But is any of our pressing appointments more critical than the situation Arjuna was in? Do you have a Brahmastra weapon flying at you, full speed, scorching the whole universe, about to destroy you and everything else? In that situation, would you have time to purify yourself? Arjuna did, because he knew that without that, whatever he did would be essentially without any real power. It would be useless. It would be with no substance. So even in such a predicament, Arjuna found time. And similarly, we can also find time if we understand the necessity. Prabhupada is explaining how when the Brahmastra weapons combined such a great circle of fire, like a, not just like the disk of the sun, but like the sun at the time of annihilation, cosmic annihilation. What is it? The sun increases many, many, many times over in heat and light at the time of annihilation. It becomes so hot. It explains at the time of annihilation there is massive, massive floods. And in those floods, everything on earth becomes totally covered by water, this planet becomes one massive ocean. And then the sun becomes so hot that it dries up everything. We see the sun now, even in this, in May and April here in India, it's so terribly hot, it's unbearable to us. Yesterday we were discussing our yatra in May and April. I was suggesting, why don't we go to some places in Rajasthan? Devotees were saying, it's too hot, it's too hot. During the day, everyone just sits under fans or in air conditioners. So we think that's hot. What hot? It might be hot during April and May. Here in Bombay, it's also hot. But still, the oceans are still... The tides are coming and going. The ships are sailing. The fishes are still swimming around. It's not very hot. Real hot is when all the oceans, within moments, just began to boil, and then they just evaporate. The sun becomes that hot. So everything is relative. If you think in terms of that heat, then our yatra will be very pleasant. If you think in terms of your air-conditioned office, then it's very difficult. So we should understand how to perceive everything in such a way that we can not only tolerate but appreciate the opportunity for devotional service in any situation. When these two brahmastras combine together, such a situation took place. And it is explained here that all the population of the three worlds was scorched by the combined heat of the weapons. Everyone was reminded of the Samvartaka flower fire, which takes place at the time of annihilation. You recognize this word, Samvartaka. As we are saying, Indra, after the Govardhan Puja of Nanda Maharaj in Brajbhumi, he sent the Samvartaka clouds, which, as I say, make the whole world one massive ocean. And then there's the Samvartaka fire that dries everything up. Just see how powerful the basic material elements can be. There are five gross elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether. And Krishna, who is the supreme controller of this cosmic manifestation, just by turning up anything, he can destroy everyone. Fire, if it is not just properly balanced, we cannot survive. If there's not enough fire, we die instantly. If the sun does not burn nicely, we will all freeze in total darkness. But if the sun gets a little too hot, then we all burn instantly. Similarly, water. If there's drought, we all starve and die. And if there's flood, we all drown and die. Little too little, little too much. We cannot protect ourselves. With all of our armies and military phalanxes and nuclear weapons and all of our scientific technology, if Krishna just puts a little too much water or a little too little water, we're finished. Or air. Just last week we were at Shetubandha, Rameshwaram, and we saw that in that area near Dhanush Tirtha, it was completely abandoned. Practically no one was living there. But a few years ago, it was a thriving village. But a little too much air came, in the form of a cyclone, and everything was destroyed, everything. The British put their railway station there and their railway tracks, but it was just destroyed, everything. little too much air. And if there's not enough air, we all suffocate. Even in the United States, there's always dangers of hurricanes and tornadoes. And with all of their great armies and all of their great technology and computer sciences, when they see that a hurricane or a cyclone is coming, what do? They use all of their advanced communication systems to tell everyone, get out. They use their television, their telegraph, their faxes, their computers, their comm lines, and everything else to just tell everyone, get out of there or you will die. They can't stop the air. All they can do is run out of fear of the air. So in this way, Earth, in Latour, we saw what the Earth could do. Earthquake. And that was a little earthquake. And within seconds, Akrura Prabhu knows he was there doing medical relief for whoever survived. Whole village totally shaken. A few years ago, Mexico City, the whole city, the most populated city in the world, just came tumbling down, hundreds and thousands dead or suffering. So in this way, through any of the material elements, Krishna can preserve us or destroy us. He's the supreme controller of this material nature. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharach. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this very beautiful purport that man is under such illusion that he thinks that he can destroy. We are building these big nuclear bombs, atomic bombs, in the illusion that now we have the power to destroy the earth. But without Krishna's sanction, you can drop your bomb and it won't even go off. Nothing can work without the sanction of Krishna. Krishna is the creator, and Krishna is the destroyer. And he allows us, due to our independent will, certain independence, to think that we're creating and think that we're destroying. It's like in family life, the husband and the wife, they think, just see what we have created, all these wonderful children. My flesh and blood, I have created. But it is Krishna that gives the potent seed by which all you do, he's the creator. He's creating your children. All you're doing is just transferring the seed that he has put within you to somebody else, and it's transferred within the womb that he's given her. And then you don't know what's going on in there. By his material laws, he's developing this particular person's physical and mental condition. Krishna is the creator. Do you know what's happening in the womb? Are you in there putting the eyes in and starting the legs and watering them and making them grow? Krishna is doing it all through his material energy. And yet we take credit. Not only do we take credit, but we take the illusion of proprietorship. That I have created this child. This child is mine, my property. And if the child doesn't do what I say the child should do, then that is a great sin and offense because you are mine. I have created you. I have brought you into this world. On a relative level, that's true. That's why Krishna says, Devarshi Bhutapti Ninam Pitranam. Actually, it is explained in 10th canto by the Devatas. That if you surrender to Krishna, you have no other obligation because ultimately it's Krishna who's created you. It's Krishna who's maintained you. It's Krishna who's done everything for you through various agents. So no doubt, respect and honor to one's parents is a religious principle. But ultimately, if we do not surrender to Krishna, no matter how we respect and honor our parents, we are sinful because we are forgetting the ultimate cause of everything they've given us. There is relative truth and there's absolute truth. Krishna consciousness is absolute truth. Morality is relative truth. And they do not contradict one another. They complement one another. But relative understanding without absolute understanding is still within the realm of ignorance. And ignorance means suffering. Ignorance means the repetition of birth and death. So we have no power to create without God. And similarly, we have no power to destroy without God. But Krishna lets us think that we are our own, that we are God. That is his kindness to those who are in illusion. You want to think you're the creator? Then you go. You have your sex and you create. Or you go in your scientific laboratories and you think that you're creating. By just mixing up the things that I've already given you with the brain and the intelligence that I've given you and the hands that I've given you. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karam ahankara vimudatma. Such false ego. And you want to think you're the destroyer? Just see. The whole world was like having a race who could make bigger bombs for destruction. It was the most fierce competition that this world has seen in modern history. The real competition of the world was not in the cricket matches or in the soccer tournaments, or tennis tournaments, or baseball, football. These are just little competitions, which really don't affect anybody. Of course, people are so crazy, they commit suicide when their team loses. But these things are little. The real competition of this world is that nations were spending billions upon billions, trillions of dollars every year to build bigger bombs of destruction than others. It was a race, a tournament, who could destroy in a more grand scale. Such unfortunate circumstances. And it's still going on. The big countries, America, Russia, China, they were developing massive, massive explosive bombs. They had developed nuclear weapons that made the atomic bombs in Hiroshima look like one of the firecrackers that the children blow off on Diwali. They did it. They created bombs that they claim could actually destroy the planet. But that wasn't enough. Even if they make a bomb that destroys the planet, then the other side has to build a bigger bomb. And a bigger, and a bigger. And then the little countries, they don't have such facilities to build such gigantic bombs. So they're fighting against each other to see who can have more little missiles. Like India, Pakistan, who has more Scud missiles, who has better airplanes. On big levels, small levels, everyone is competing to see who can destroy better than the other, to put more fear into the other's hearts. But for devotees, they just look at this whole crazy mess as just children, just foolishly playing with the toys given by their parents. Ultimately, Krishna's, as they say, giving us enough rope to hang ourselves. But he's giving the rope. He's giving the power. You can split the atom, but who made the atom? And who put all the energy in the atom? You didn't do it. You're just trying to open it up and find what's inside. And then you say, you created? It's just like someone comes into your house and opens the door to see what's inside and says, I created this house. This is illusion. We're discovering the power of God. And as soon as we discover it, we claim that it is ours. Just like Christopher Columbus took his voyage, what was it, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Three boats. He wanted to go to India. He wanted to take a yatra to India. And you know, whenever we have yatras, we always want to save time. So he wanted to come to India. His yatra was not spiritual, it was financial. He wanted to get the riches, the spices, the silks, the jewels, the metals of India. It was the wealthiest country in the world at the time. So he decided to take a shortcut by going west instead of east. And somehow or other, he landed in this country called, later on, America. At that time it was called something like Turtle Island. And when he found it, he put the flag of Italy in the ground and say, I have discovered America. 1492. And every year, there's Columbus Day, the day Columbus discovered America. You don't even have to go to school on that day. It's a holiday. Now, you know, something is taken very seriously if you don't have to go to school that day. The day Columbus discovered a moon. What did he discover? He claimed proprietorship. It's already there. There was already so many people. And then there was the big race. Who can go to the moon first? And everyone was spending so much money in their building their rocket ships. According to Prabhupada, they were also spending a lot of money making their stage settings. And who can go to the moon first to claim proprietorship over the moon? So in this way, there's so much competition trying to take the position of God as the creator, as the maintainer, and as the destroyer. We have discussed how there's so much illusion of being the creator and the destroyer, but there's also great illusion of being maintainer. People are struggling so hard to maintain themselves or to maintain others. Just like, again, parents will say, how can you join the Brahmachari Ashram? I maintained you for so many years. You have to do what I say. You are my property. That's true. Unless you surrender to Krishna. Because Krishna is maintaining them. At least been maintaining their false ego and their illusion to think that they're maintaining. Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. Three aspects of God in this world. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. It is all carried out by Krishna. Through his various energies. But yet we want to take the credit. And we want to assume the illusion that we are the doers. But Srila Prabhupada explains that first of all, they cannot with gross energy create such an atomic bomb to destroy this planet. Because they do not know the power of this planet. Every now and then, Mother Earth gives a little indication of her power. When there's an earthquake, when there's a volcano, when there's a tidal wave,
when there's a cyclone, when there's an epidemic of disease, when there's a drought. These are just little tiny symptoms of Mother Earth's power. Human civilization, due to greed and envy, have been exploiting, misusing, raping the earth so severely. We could do so much damage, but time is on the earth's side, it's not on our side. But in the meantime, ourselves and all our generations will be destroyed by her. What is the power of the earth? The power of the earth is the power of God. Ultimately, we think we can destroy. We cannot. We have no power to destroy the earth. But we could destroy ourselves. That we have the power to do, to some extent. But the earth will watch and see us destroying ourselves, and then she'll just patiently go on with her business, recover from the little wounds we put on her in due course of time. So it is an illusion born of incessant ego that we can destroy this earth. And Guru Maharaj is explaining also that we have no power to destroy even a germ without the sanction of God. Not a blade of grass can move without the sanction of God. Whatever ability or power we have, we must know it is all resting on Krishna's sanction. So when we understand that Krishna is all-powerful, sometimes we say all-powerful, all-merciful. What does that mean? When we say all, that means everything. When Krishna is all-powerful, that means no one else can have any power. If somebody else can have power separate from Krishna, then he's not all-powerful. He's some powerful, or he's most powerful. Most power is, no, he is all powerful. All power is his. He is all knowing. That means all knowledge is his. He is all merciful. That means all mercy is coming from him. Sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. He's not the cause of some causes. Everything is emanating from him. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanita. So whatever power, whatever knowledge, whatever anything, it is all Krishna's. It is all coming from Krishna. And the knowledge is to understand this and to engage in his loving service with all our hearts. And Arjuna has realized this principle. And Ashwatthama, who is under the illusion that he is the destroyer, under the illusion that he is powerful, it's here being utterly embarrassed by Krishna, humiliated and defeated, as everyone with such false ego is in due course of time. Either Krishna, through his material nature or through his representatives, he exposes all of us by utterly embarrassing and humiliating us if we do not come to the platform of knowledge and accept that we are all Krishna's dependent servants and act accordingly. So Ashwatthama created a weapon that was born of Krishna's energy, and Arjuna created the same identical weapon according to Krishna's energy. But what is the difference? Because Ashwatthama did it independently, he is defeated, bewildered, humiliated, and suffers a fate worse than death. And Arjuna was an agent creating the same exact thing, but he is victorious, enlightened, because he did it for Krishna. Because he first did it after purifying himself, circumambulating, worshipping the Lord, and doing it according to Krishna's instruction. So that is the difference between material life and spiritual life. The difference between Ashwatthama and Arjuna. It's as simple as that. They are both doing the same thing, creating the same weapon, with the same power. But one is doing it in Krishna consciousness, and one is doing it according to his own material conceptions. One is humiliated and defeated, and one is glorified and victorious. Is there any questions?
In your lecture, Maharaj, you just mentioned about our that whatever you do, we have to do it in act of devotion. You have to chant our rounds and hear Bhagavatam every day, and then afterwards, whatever we do throughout the day, we will be doing in a proper consciousness. Now, so many times it happens with us that even if we chant our rounds in the morning and hear Bhagavatam, at that particular moment we are in the proper consciousness, but when we go out of this temple into the world, we behave like the rest of the people. We also enter the same rat race to just be into that. And then when we come back in the night, we find ourselves doing nothing. Sometimes we feel that, what have we done? Are we in the right consciousness or what?
You must be associating with Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu. Same question he asks every class. Ananda Vrindavan he works in the stock market. And to do that type of service, you have to really juggle words. Anyways, he's expert at asking the same question in different words every day. And he can do it throughout his whole life. And the question is never the same, although it is the same. And now his representatives are asking the same question. Now he's speaking through a different body in a different voice. And then we have to be put to the test of giving the same answer in different words every day. In sort of competition. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That is true, that we perform our sadhana sincerely, and we become oftentimes forgetful of our constitutional position during our day's activities. That is because we have been conditioned to this illusion for so many births. It is not that just one morning of sadhana and you're in an enlightened consciousness. But what we must know is, if we do practice this regularly, ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayanindriyaischa atma vishaya vidhyatma prasada marigachati, by following these regulative principles, we get Krishna's mercy. We attract Krishna's grace. And by his grace, even if we become little forgetful due to our conditioned nature, we are still progressing gradually and we are protected by him. That we should know. It is a gradual process. But as long as we are sincerely taking to that process, we are protected. And gradually we are purified. Not by our endeavor, but by the mercy of Lord Krishna. So by following these principles, you're surrendering to Krishna. You're pleasing Krishna. And you find yourself under the mercy of Krishna, which is all-powerful. So there's nothing to fear. As long as we are rightly situated, by following the instructions of Guru and Gauranga, we are on the path back home, back to Godhead. Ask any questions now today. It's already been, your question has already been asked. Much thank you.